Hello, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano. And as always, we bring you different charities from around the area and organizations that are all 501c3, as well as our station is. Our guest today is Rob Smith from Horizons for the Blind. Rob, welcome to Around Town.
Nice to be here.
So, you want to tell us a little bit about Horizons for the Blind, Rob?
Horizons is kind of a unique organization. It was started over 40 years ago in Chicago by our founder, Camille Craffarelli. She died a few years ago, but we still try to maintain her vision and passion for the organization. It started, Camille was totally blind, and it started as a way to give access to people who are blind when they go to museums, making the exhibits accessible, and it's kind of grown from there.
The way situation was many years ago, not too long ago, I should say, there were a lot of difficult situation for those that were visually impaired or blind because they weren't set up for it. It seems like now there's more effort made towards helping the blind, whether it be more braillets out there, more items that are out being made available to those that are visually impaired. How do you find it, Rob, on your end?
Yeah, it's a completely different world than it was in the 70s, that's for sure. I think we've played a large part in making accessibility more mainstream.
So when it comes to Braille and statements and things like that, how do you folks come into play with that?
Say you're visually impaired or blind and you get a bill in the mail. You can't read it or you have trouble reading it. We take those bills and reformat them into large print and Braille. And then we mail them directly to the consumer. We do the work for companies like media companies, utilities, financial institutions. So we do thousands a month, and statements and bills are, it's a personal thing. You don't want to have somebody else reading them to you because, for whatever reason, it should be private and it should be your ability to read those. And we make that possible.
So when the bill comes out, does it come to you first or does it go
to? It goes to the company and then they send us either a copy or the bill and then we reformat it.
And, it's personal pride because for someone to get a bill and be able to read that bill without someone reading it to them, it says a lot because you want to be able to read your own bill and you want to be able to understand it. So that's where that Braille really comes in handy for that.
Absolutely. And even in the large print, it's not like we just take the thing up and, set 150 on the photocopier and blow it up. We completely, a lot of bill formats come in table formats. It's very difficult for a large print reader to follow along on a table and go from column to column. So we completely reformat those, take out the tables, and it makes it obviously legible for the font size, but also much easier for them to read.
So now once a person gets that bill and they read their bill, and then what process for them to pay their bill? Do they have checks that are in Braille, or how does that work?
It can go either way. Some of them have checks that are in Braille. Some of them have, a service that, that would help them write a check. But the payment is kind of, we don't really do the payment. All we do is provide the information that's in the original bill.
Going back some time ago, I did work on a radio station in the mornings called Chicagoland Radio Informational Services, Chris mm-hmm. Radio. And they supply a box to the visually impaired and the blind, so this way they can listen to the show, hear what's going on. Those shows were live, and it was amazing that even with the live shows, we had call-ins. We had several people calling in that were visually impaired, and they felt that they had a meaning because they, too, were able to participate in a program where normally you don't have that opportunity. So it was really great. It was a good feeling, too, to know that people are able to participate and call in and ask questions.
Absolutely.
It means a lot. It means a lot personally to the people.
Well, and I don't know about you, but some of the bills, the fine print on them is microscopic, and it's it's tough to read, period.
Well, Rob, it's tough to read even if you're not visually impaired.
Exactly.
It's difficult, and some of the bills are very confusing besides. How about employment for the blind? What's What's that entail, or what's going on there, Rob?
Not quite half of our staff is blind or visually impaired, and this isn't a charity for us. This is a necessity. We need their input in terms of formatting the large print, in terms of proofreading the Braille, in terms of producing it. So, I mean, we are a large employer of blind and visually impaired people, but it's not out of charity. It's out of necessity because, they're critical to what we do there.
So can you tell us, when you proofread Braille, to find if there's an error, if it's correct or not correct, how do they go about doing that? That has to be kind of a really difficult task, or you have to really know what you're doing.
Absolutely. And we have people who are Braille readers who do it. And, I don't understand it. I can't read Braille, but, it would be no different than proofing the large print, except it's in a different format.
Okay. And those people that do this, are they actually employed or are they volunteers?
They're actual employees, yep.
Okay. How many employees do you have there?
Right now we have a little over 20.
And you're located where?
We are in Crystal Lake, and we're in an office building off of Eric Street. And we've been there a few years. We started out originally our last location prior to the one we're in now was in downtown Crystal Lake, right on William Street. So we kind of ran out of space, and we moved over there.
So now, what keeps your organization going? Is that private funding? Is it donations? Or how does that work?
That would be yes to all of the above. We are funded through donations. As you said, we're a 501c3, so we do accept donations. We also partner with companies, like I said, utilities, media companies, financial institutions, and we provide a service to them, and then they pay us for that service.
You know, I'm curious. I've had people ask me why they have not seen more Braille in supermarkets. So if someone goes shopping, that they can have Braille on a can of corn or a can of peas to be able to read that. Has there been any efforts made in that industry?
Yeah, not recently, but there has been some effort. We also have a service called Directions for Me. It's directionsforme.org, and that provides, a blind person would buy a cake mix. They get it home. They have no idea how to make it because they can't read the package. The Directions for Me provides that information. So
how do they provide that? Do they actually convert it to Braille for that person? Is that how that works?
It's an online service, so that it's accessible online, and it just gives the packaging information right on the website.
So if you're visually impaired, then your keyboard would also be in Braille?
It's a Braille keyboard. So it's not like a regular keyboard. It's got a refreshable Braille display. You got these little buttons that pop up and down. So,
okay, I see you have a note here about Weekenders. Can you tell us about that?
Weekenders is a social club through Horizons for the Blind, and it's made up of both blind, visually impaired, and then fully sighted people. And they take field trips. They go out to restaurants about once a month. And one of the interesting things they do is they may go see a theater performance downtown. And one of the things that we also do is we transcribe playbills for theaters downtown, also some in New York. And that makes the theater experience more accessible to them because they can read the playbill in either large print or Braille. The other interesting thing that a lot of theaters are doing is they'll have an accessible show where they'll bring in people who are blind or visually impaired beforehand, and they'll take them on the stage and they'll show them the props, and kind of the layout. So they kind of have they can visualize in their mind what's going on when just the audio is that they can access.
That's pretty neat when you think about it. I mean, to be able to do that, to give these people a better feel for what's going on.
Yeah, it's, the accessible shows aren't anything that, we produce, but, we provide the documentation for the show, and it kind of goes hand in hand.
So how about transportation? How do the folks get around, Rob?
Transportation is probably the number one issue for people who are blind and visually impaired. most people don't even think about it. They walk out to their car and they get in and they go wherever they want. You know, they're completely dependent on, honestly, it's a little easier now with, you know, the drive services like Uber. But still, it's a daily struggle to get to work. We used to have an employee who lived on the south side of Chicago, and he would take a bus like into the city and then take the train all the way out to Crystal Lake from there. So, I mean, it's an ongoing issue.
So the next question would come in. I think people say, okay, how do they handle their money to be able to identify the coins or dollars being visually impaired?
There's several techniques. They'll fold them or they'll, you know, somehow mark them. But there has been some talk of making the U.S. currency more accessible in terms of different sizes. And, I mean, the coins is somewhat is easy. The bills are present more of a problem.
I would think so because, you know, a $5 bill or a $10 bill, they're both the same size. So how do you identify which is which?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the same kind of thing is true for, you know, like a credit or a debit card. If they have to input it online, you know, it's tough.
Are there areas that you see that you think could be more helpful and useful to people that are visually impaired that have not been done yet, the things that need to change to help these folks?
It's always an accessibility issue, you know, whether that's, like you said, going to the grocery store and finding stuff or, you know, one of the services we provide in terms of the statements. But, you know, it's always an accessibility issue. Actually, as we pigtailed off of that, the biggest issue is transportation again. You know, the self-driving cars is a dream for a lot of blind and visually impaired people. It probably scares a lot of people, but I mean that would be complete access, you know, to where they want to go and not have to go through other means. I mean, it's kind of like we were talking about before, you know, the pride and the privacy and being able to read a bill. It's the same thing with transportation, just being able to go out and go wherever you want at a moment's notice.
Well, everyone likes some independence, and that's part of it.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Yeah, Horizon for the Blind, you want to tell us a little bit about Horizon, how long you've been in business, how long you've been around?
Yeah, as I said, Camille, as I said, passed away a few years ago, but she started in 1977, I believe. So, what, 45, 46 years ago. Okay. In Chicago, it had a few volunteers in her basement in her Chicago, you know, house, and the growth that it's, you know, experienced in the constantly changing directions and finding new things to do, you know, new things to do that provide a service to people who are blind or visually impaired. It's been an amazing story.
Was she visually impaired herself?
She was a total blind.
Okay. We're going to pause just for a minute to remind everybody you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking to Rob Smith from Horizons for the Blind. Rob, along with that, so when this young lady started this organization, was she located in downtown Chicago?
She was located downtown Chicago. Her husband had just died, and she had three small children. In fact, her son, Keith Myers, is the executive director of the organization now. He took over from her, so it's kind of come full circle.
Well, the family's still involved in it. I understand you also have catalog products too, correct?
Yeah, we do. And some of the products, we have a lot of books in Braille, cookbooks, craft books, but we also have a lot of just normal kitchen items. The difference is that we provide large print or Braille instructions with them. So it's not like you go to a store and you buy something and you don't have no idea how to use it. So the service we provide is we provide the product, then we also provide the instructions and the manuals in an accessible format.
So some of the products can you give us an example of some products you supply?
Just normal kitchen items. We have a lot of microwave items. As I said, we have a lot of craft books. We have how to knit books, long looms, stuff like that.
And these are all in Braille?
Yeah, we make the instructions available in Braille or large print.
So like kitchen items, when you have, like you're talking about, something goes in the microwave, how do they know what to do or how to prepare that product put in a microwave. I mean, what assistance do you give them on that?
As I said, we give the instructions in Braille or large print. Hopefully their microwave is already accessible to them, so they know how to use that. One of the other interesting services we provide is like to laundry companies. We provide Braille overlays for their machines.
Oh, really?
So that they can, go into a laundromat. You know, they would have no idea how to, you know, what buttons are what. So I mean, we provide the Braille overlay so that the machine is completely accessible and they can maneuver the, you know, whatever it is on their own.
You know, we've come a long way, including sidewalks, where they got sidewalks on the corners where there's slopes so people with handicaps can go down and step down instead of worrying about going over a curb. What are some of the things that are still needed yet for those that are visually impaired, Rob?
We have come a long ways, and it still goes back to being independent. You know, there are so many things that blind and visually impaired people need assistance with, and if we can move to a state where they are independent and can do things on their own, I think that would be the biggest thing.
So to be able to attain that goal, what's still needed yet, do you know?
Not to beat, you know, transportation, accessibility in all formats. You know, you go to a grocery store, as you said, Braille. It's tough to shop. It's a complete accessibility issue, and it kind of invades every aspect of your life.
So is your organization or any other organizations, are they working together with the supermarket chains to say, let's get some products labeled in both standard labeling and Braille? I mean, is that underway? Is work being done on that?
Not to our knowledge. We did do some work in the past with getting prescriptions in Braille so that you could tell what your bottles were. But the supermarkets is that's a tough road to get any traction on.
Is there a national organization?
There's several. There's NFB, which is National Federation of the Blind. There's a lot of organizations specifically for blind, not so much for the visually impaired, but for the totals. There's a number of organizations out there.
So those bigger organizations, have they made any efforts to try and change some of the things that you're seeing that are problem areas for the blind?
They are, but again, it's. I guess you have to look at it as a big picture. You know, you look at it today, and you're like, "Well, we're not making much progress." But then you look at where we were, like I said, in the 1970s or the 1960s. Then we have come a long way. Still a long ways to go, but you know, over the years, things do change, but slowly.
So the general public, if you have someone in your family that's visually impaired or blind, are there things that they can do to assist your organization or to assist those visually impaired or blind people to begin with? I mean, people they should write to or either congressmen or senators or whatever to try and get things done?
We're not really a... we don't really get involved in, like, the government and, you know, trying to push things that way. Some of the larger organizations do. One of the biggest things they can do, I think, is if they're not getting their bills in an accessible format, they can request most of the large companies will do that for you. And whether it's us or another provider, you know, you can get your bills in an accessible format. I think that's the biggest thing. Many people don't even know that you can request that.
So, for example, like this show here, if we wanted many of your listeners and folks that you work with to tune into this show or to be able to stream, did it have that capability to be able to do that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's been a lot of work recently in terms of making websites and online accessible. So, I mean, all of that is pretty accessible to anybody who has visual impairments.
That's good, because we hope that they listen to this show, that maybe there might be something that they hear or they might want to add or suggest. And that would be good, because they can always email the station or contact you, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Can I get my contact information?
Please do.
Our phone number is 815-444-8800. And if you're interested in getting a catalog, you can hit extension 238. And also, or you can request one by mail at mail@horizons-blind.org.
So let's do that again, Rob. Go a little slower.
But all right.
Repeat everything all over again, if you would, please.
Our phone number is 815-444-8800. And for catalog or weekenders information, you can go to extension 238. Our website is www.horizons-blind.org. That's horizons-blind.org. And our email is mail@horizons-blind.org.
That's great, because there are people out there who may have questions that they want to ask, or perhaps they have a member of the family, or maybe themselves, they're suffering vision problems, that they want to be able to get a hold of you.
In fact, one of the largest groups of people are seniors who, you know, their eyesight is diminishing, and a lot of times it's a pride issue with them too, that they, you know, because they've never had that problem. It's a tough adjustment going from, you know, thinking you're fully sighted to actually needing some help. So it's a tough one.
So when that occurs with that person, and they contact you, in what ways do you help them, Rob? If they're in that situation where they feel like they're losing their sight, and it's kind of a difficult situation to deal with, what kind of support do you work with them to make them feel a little bit better about what's going on?
We tell them about our products and some of the help that we can give them from the things we produce. And then, as I said, we encourage them to request, you know, always request. You know, a lot of the companies, like I said, will give you accessible statements in other forms. So, yeah, you know, it's sometimes you just have to ask.
So if a person's at a point where they may eventually be losing their sight, they have to learn Braille. How does that work?
That's a really tough one. A lot of the people who have sight that read Braille, none of them read it tactily. They read it visually. They can, you know, they read the Braille off the page. But as you get older, it's a lot tougher to learn Braille. It's certainly possible, but it's a tough row.
So they read the Braille visually, they don't do it by touch?
A fully sighted person who can read Braille reads it by sight, yeah.
Okay. I know that that's a concern for people, that if that's happening to them, that, you know, what do they do? I mean, they may have family members to assist them, but if not, you know, it's a scary situation.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And like I said, it's a complete shift from being independent to really, really needing help.
So if they contact you, can they also get support and counseling from you folks?
We don't do that.
Okay. Is there someplace they can go if they have a problem like that?
I would suggest contacting one of the larger blind or visually impaired organizations. There's a number of them around, and there's a number of them in Illinois, too. So that can help.
But they can contact you if they need help with, for example, their utility bills or things like that, where they have to get that converted over?
Well, they have to contact the companies directly, but we can certainly point them in the right direction.
Okay, so when they contact, let's say, ComEd,
yep,
and then ComEd would ask questions, and ComEd would contact you folks?
Yeah, they would just add it to our list of the bills that they send us, and then we would produce it and send it out.
Okay. Is there anything else, Rob, that you'd like to add about what Horizons for the Blind is doing in your organization?
As I said, it's a unique organization. You know, we do a lot of work for companies. We provide a lot of services to people who are blind and visually impaired. And as I like to tell people, every day I go to work, I learn something new. You know, it's like I had no appreciation for. I mean, everybody thinks about, you know, what if I was blind? How would I get along? And then the things that they are able to do that I've witnessed, it's really amazing.
Well, thank you, Rob. You've been listening to 101.5 FM WHRULP, your Huntley Community Radio Station. Rob Smith has been with us from Horizons with the Blind, and we want to thank everybody for listening today, and have a great day. Our radio station works with donations and with sponsorships. We're a 501c3, so your donations are tax-deductible. The reason we're here today is because of your donations. That's what keeps the station going. Without that, we would not be here anymore, and we not have a radio station. So we need your support. We thank you for your support, and those who have supported us in the past, thank you so much. And please continue to support. And those new people out there that are thinking about supporting us, please send your donation to our radio station. We're here to be your community radio station. We thank you for your time.